Good evening, young disciples. Good evening, sir. Wow, you called me sir. I like that. Wow. It is so good to see each and every one of you here at camp this year. How many of you are excited to be here? It looks like a pretty good percentage of you. I know I'm excited that I'm here, and I'm excited that you're here. How many of you, is this your first year coming to camp? Fair number of you. I can remember the first time I came to camp. Things were set up a little bit differently. I think I was on that bench right there, probably about in the middle. And I remember that very well. I was kind of nervous about coming to camp, and maybe you're feeling a little bit nervous, but I can assure you that this camp is the best place you can be right now. So rest assured, even if you're a little bit nervous, a little bit homesick, or just not sure what's happening, don't worry. God will take care of you, and you're going to be so thankful that you're here. All right. One of the things that I remember most about one of my first times coming as a camper was standing up and playing a certain game. So we're going to do that tonight, and I would like to know how many of you have been to camp multiple times and how long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you all to stand up. I would like to find out what camper has come to camp the most often. So think of each week that you've been to camp. So that you might have been twice in a year, maybe just once in a year, but just figure out the number, and we're just going to see how many of you are returning veterans and how long you've been around. All right. If this is your first week at camp, go ahead and take a seat. All right. If this is your second week at camp, please be seated. Okay. Third week at camp. Okay, wow. So some of you have been coming at least three years. Okay. If you've been, let's see, we covered four times, was it? How about five times? Oh, now four. Okay, this is the four. Okay. If this is your fourth time. Fourth time? Fifth time. Okay, how about sixth? All right, I think we've narrowed it down to few enough that we can find out the totals. How many times, Sarah? 10 times. Wow. 12 times. Okay, ninth, you said? Ninth week. Okay. Seventh? Emily. Weeks. 14th week. Wow. Seventh week for Weston. Wow. Mr. Kim. Many weeks. Wow. It is amazing how time flies. I cannot believe how long it has been. All right, well, it's time for the ever-popular Bible memorization time. So go ahead and get out your cards, and we're going to memorize Scripture. Oh, that's right. Excuse me. We forgot something, because I didn't look at my notes. We need to have opening prayer. And I would like to invite Jonathan Hill to come forward and have prayer.
Can you kneel with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful atmosphere that we can come to and be in for a week or two every summer. You know, there have been many people that have been blessed here. I just want to ask that you would multiply that this year, that there would be many more lives touched that go home. And I want to ask that you would be with every one of us and give us a personal blessing and help us to learn something new about you and about what your plan for our lives are. I want to ask that you would be with all the counselors. They have a lot of responsibility, and that you would just sustain them and give them grace to deal with the campers. And I ask that you would be with our speaker tonight and bless as usual. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'd also like to thank our song service leaders, Josiah Martin, Caitlin James, Erica Hall, and Janelle Pestes.
Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening.
Once again, very glad to be here, and I'd like you to take out your, if you haven't already, take out your, oh wow, you are on the ball. Look at that. You've got them out already. You know, whatever goes into our minds when we watch a stupid sitcom TV program, it goes into our minds forever. It affects the decisions we make for the rest of our lives. So what could be better to put in our minds to help us make the right decisions than God's Word? And that's why we always make it a part of Young Disciple Camp to memorize some of His Word. And you know what? You're going to have a lot of God's Word in your mind by the end of this week. I know some of you may have already memorized this, and if so, it's going to be a review, but either way, it's going to be a blessing. So let's look at our cards. We're going to read together the first two verses of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Now that's it, just only two verses tonight. I think that I like that enthusiasm, that's great. So how many of you already know this first two verses? Great, you can help the others. So turn your cards over. On the back side, those are just little prompts. You don't have to memorize those initials. But it will help you review the verse. So see what you can do. I'm going to read the front of the card. I've memorized this chapter, but I always read when I'm up front because my mind goes blank sometimes, or I hear somebody say something wrong and I go off with them. So I try to keep my eyes on the words. So I'm going to read it and stop every now and then. And whenever I stop, you say the next word, just the next word, one word. The, declare the, of, and the, showeth His, day unto, uttereth, and unto, showeth. Oh, you guys are good, really good. Okay, let's do it with just the whole thing. I'll go a little bit slower with just the initial letters. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Okay, one more time without your cards if you can. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Very good. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to give someone an opportunity, a few someones, an opportunity to recite these two verses. So just review a little bit now and then between now and tomorrow night, and you will have a good time sharing these beautiful verses with the rest of the camp.
Thank you. Well, it's my privilege to be able to introduce our campfire speaker. And I asked him earlier if he had any preferences on what to introduce him, or how to introduce him. All he told me is that he is the father of four and the husband of one. And he said I could say anything that I wanted to as long as it wasn't really embarrassing. That's giving me a lot of liberty, so I didn't really know what to say. It wasn't very helpful knowing what to say, so I just decided to write a short poem to commemorate this occasion. He's the father of four and the husband of one. In the work of the Lord, many things He has done. He teaches at AFCO with power and panache. Please welcome our speaker, Don McIntosh.
Wow. I just got tanned. Thank you, Mr. Tanner. Appreciate that very much. It's good to be here with so many young disciples and a few older ones as well. And first time I've been here to your lovely camp, I was very concerned when I saw this building. I thought, what did I get into? I thought maybe I was at some different religion. But I'm glad that you're quoting scripture and seems to be the right thing. Well, let's pray again tonight, and then we'll spend a few moments. How far behind are we? I don't want to have us stay up till 12 o'clock and get the Eutychus Awards tonight. 8:17. When is this to be over? What? 8:15. Wow. I'm good, huh? You didn't even... A45, okay. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're thankful today that we can come and sit here in nature and smell the smells of nature and hear the sounds of nature and to consider the works of your hands, the fact that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So today we just ask that you would be with us at the beginning of this young disciple camp, that we could in fact hear your voice, your declarations in nature and scripture this week. We thank you. We come in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've been kind of struggling about, you know, what to say to a group of campers, and I didn't really know what to say till I began looking at you. And you all look different. You look different than the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. Do they look like you? They have two eyes. You have two eyes. They have a nose. You have a nose. They have a mouth. You have a mouth. But they're different, right? And is that a good thing? Or is that a bad thing? Yeah. Well, I thought tonight I'd talk about a text in the context of our scripture tonight. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. I've been thinking about that text for a couple weeks because I know I was going to be here. And I thought of another text on top of that. It's from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it is. And let me see if I can find that. And it kind of goes along with this idea. Now, first we think that this text deals with just the idea of the heavens, that being, you know, the sky, and the firmament, that being the expanse that God stretched out in the physical universe. But it also talks about in the scriptures that you're to be like stars and you're to be like lights that shine. So here's the text I was thinking of. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 41. 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Don't you like that text? There's one glory of the sun, and there's another glory of the moon. The other day we were out walking, James and James was on my shoulders. By the way, I should probably introduce my family. Elizabeth May, would you stand up, Elizabeth? That's Elizabeth. That's my favorite eldest daughter. Thank you. You can be seated. And Elizabeth is a great girl. And then Catherine Caroline. Would you stand up, Catherine? Catherine Caroline. And then where's Donald Malcolm? Right there. He's standing up, but it looks like he's sitting down. There he is. And then James Madison Sabatismos. There he is. And I was walking, you know, James Madison is actually the smartest person in our family, including me, because before you're 3 years old, you have more brain cells than you ever do after that time. And so his brain is like bursting with synaptic connections. I mean, everything he sees, he considers at a much deeper level than you do because your brains have been pruned, especially those who have been at camp the longest. becoming more and more narrow. Now, that's good, because you're like a laser beam. You're like God's laser beams, and you're finely honed. But at his age, he just processes everything. And we're going along, and he goes, look, son. I said, don't look at that. then he goes, moon. And he sees the little sliver of the moon, and he sees this, and he sees that. And he sees all the different ones, and he was pointing them all out to me. And that's what our text is saying. There's one glory in the sun. There's one in the moon. There's one in each of the stars. And you guys are each unique and different. And in a sense, you're God's handiwork. You have a special purpose and mission and goal in life. And, you know, in reflecting Christ as young people, that's really our mission and our goal, isn't it? That's our mission and our goal. Now, there's one thing that sometimes can get in our way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, this is the text I wanted to talk about tonight. The other ones were just kind of like introducing this text. This is a great text for young people and even older people. Actually, everyone here is relatively young, you know. God created people to live forever. So even Eugene Pruitt is young. Very young. He's infantile compared to eternity. And so am I. So, here's the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. This is a great text. I wish we were memorizing this week. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. How many think that's a great text? So our first text was the heavens declare the glory of God, right? Our second text said, look, there's one glory in the sun, there's another in the moon, and each star varieth in glory, and we should revel in that difference that God has created. But then there's this temptation, and it's this temptation especially among humans and younger humans, that they clash themselves or compare themselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Isn't that a great text? So this week you'll be tempted. You'll go, I am from the sunbeam camp. And you'll look down on, oh, you are just, what are some of the names of your tribes and nations here? The what? What's yours? Yeah, you guys are just promise claimers. But there's this idea, there's always, I mean, sometimes it's good for organization, but how many of you have ever met people that are so concerned about fitting in with everybody else so they just don't shine like God would want them to shine? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever succumbed to what they call peer pressure? Say, man, I want to fit in. I want to be, you know, maybe like everyone or maybe even better than everyone. Now, there's this problem. When we try and be better than other people or when we look at other people and we compare ourselves with them, how many think we can get into trouble with that? I was a young man once, several times, and I was in this, I remember very well, I had this roommate, wasn't at camp because this would never have worked, and this was back in the 1980s, and, you know, there's one star and there's one sun, and they, you know, there's a different glory, but he felt like he was more like the sun. Okay, he believed that he was quite special. And if I could liken him to a Bible character, I would probably say Absalom. How many remember the story of Absalom? What was it that Absalom considered his pride and glory? His hair. And this roommate of mine loved his hair. He spent many hours on his hair. And back then, they had what were called, I don't think they have these anymore, maybe they're digital now, but they were blow dryers. How many of you have heard of these? And back then, the blow dryers were not like, I don't even think they had electricity back then. They were like diesel-powered blow dryers. He had this huge blow dryer, and he would lift it up, and he would turn it on. Wasn't quite that bad. And the thing, it would blow with the force of wind, and his hair would go back, back this way, and it would kind of trail down in the distance behind. And I would just sit there in awe. I was just like, oh, man, right? And I just looked at that. And I said, oh, I wish I had hair like that. Oh, if I could only have hair like that. The problem was that my dad believed, he grew up in the 50s. And in the 50s, there was something called crew cuts. Some of you have almost near a crew cut here. It's kind of back in style. It just goes up like this, straight back, and all gone on the sides. And I would try and hide during haircut time because I wanted to have... And I just, you know. Anyway, back to my friend. But then I noticed that if he didn't get his hair correct, he had a very bad day. He just felt bad, you know. He spent hours on his hair. Now, can I tell you a little story about myself, something I did to this guy? That'll be all right with you? I learned a lesson from it. Anyway. Everybody started looking like this guy on campus. I mean, because he was a big, tall guy. He was like Absalom and Saul, like in one. He was a very high king of the campus. And pretty soon, all these people, their hair started looking like his. You know, even people with curly hair. You know, they would try and straighten it. And pretty soon, like there was one person came out that looked like him, and then two, and then three, and I was like, no, what is happening here? And I realized that people's individuality was being usurped by Mr. Big Hair. So I snuck into his room one night. Well, actually, anyway, never mind. That's too many stories because we have to get over at 8:45. And I snuck into his room, and I slept there overnight. And in the morning, when he got up to begin his routine, I strategically positioned myself next to an electrical outlet that was hooked up to his huge blow dryer. Now, you can understand something about his hair. There was only a window of opportunity for this to turn out right for him. If he did it too long, it became a big furry mess. If he did it too soon, it didn't work out. He only had a window, and I understood this because I had watched him for weeks. Right when he was blow-drying his hair, I gradually took the cord and began to pull it out. And his blow-dryer went, and he was like shaking the blow-dryer. He was concerned. And then I plugged it back in. And, it was, and his hair, only one side was flowing, and the other side turned into a furry mess. And I could not contain myself. I was underneath this blanket, and I was trying to, like, act like I was asleep. Even though I didn't snore back then. But I was like... and I just began to laugh. I lost it. And this man had expended so much energy on fixing his hair that it took him a while to figure out what was happening. It took him about 15 minutes. And then he traced from cause to effect. He followed the cord back to the blanket, and I was discovered. I literally was laughing so hard that I believe my stomach still is injured. In fact, now it sticks out a little bit. Possibly because of that. Although I think there might be other causes. Well, I can't tell you the rest of the story because it's not in keeping with the camp. But I just tell you that there was judgment that came upon my bodily person from that individual. Something that you would get a big demerit for here if you did that. And it was interesting what happened after that, because he had to go to church. There was a rule that he had to go to church no matter if his hair was done or not. So he walked into church, and he tried to maintain just one side. It's kind of like a sidewinder going into church. But then everybody saw it, the big curly mess. And what happened on that campus after that was something very interesting. I remember several talks at night with the guys, and they began to say, you know, we don't need to have our hair like his. And pretty soon, there were less people and less people that were like him. They had discovered somehow their individuality again. I don't know what your individuality is, but if the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky, you know, tonight, look up at the stars. Look up and look at all the difference of those. And if in Corinthians it says there's one glory in the sun and another in the moon, and each star varies, I just want to say something to you. There's something unique about you that God has put in your life that nobody else has. There's something about you accepting Jesus in your life and letting him display his spirit in your life that's different than anybody else. And if it wasn't there, God's sky, his firmament, would never be the same. Do you believe that? There's a book called Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, and in that book, it says that Jesus would have come to die. He would have come to this planet for just you. Just you. Nobody else. If there would have been everybody else obliterated from the earth except you, he would have come all the way for just you. How does that make you feel? That should make you feel good, amen? And how many of you want him to recognize who you are when you get here? If he was to come all the way and see you. I want to make sure, you know, I don't want to look like everybody else exactly, right? Right? I want to have those unique gifts. I want to have those unique, what would you say, spiritual gifts God can show through me and all those unique things. Now, let me just say something at the beginning of the week, because I better close up here. It's 8:36, and I know the timekeeper is here somewhere. One of my gifts, some people don't consider a gift. Let me explain it to you. I see things in a very unique way sometimes. How many of you have noticed that already? And some people are very troubled by that. And they have shared with me their trouble with it. Like, for instance, they might say, you're too funny. And the funny thing is that sometimes they're right. Right? But as a matter of fact, even last week I got an email from someone who said, what you said was so funny that it was out of place. And I tried to remember what I said, and I couldn't remember it. So he wrote me another email and told me. And I realized that could have been a stumbling block to him. But I really seriously did not mean that to happen. So I began to study, you know, Christ's life, and I tried to say, was Christ, did he ever say things that maybe caused people to have what a song says, noblest mirth? How many think that there was ever a time when people just laughed at something Jesus said? I don't know. How many of you have ever read something Jesus said and you laughed, but it was not like an unholy laugh, it was a chuckle? Like, for instance, one time he was talking to some people, and they came up to him, and he said, why are you trying to remove the speck from that person's eye when you have a log in your head? How many think that sounds a little bit? Can you picture someone walking with that tree coming out of their head? How many think that that might strike you? You would remember that. How many think that might happen? Right? And then one time he was talking to people and he called them whitewashed tombstones. You look like whitewashed sepulchers, which was not a funny, but it was a way of saying you look like a graveyard. So that doesn't mean, I don't think that the Lord was thinking up and above. He says, I'm going to say that so that people would laugh. He wasn't doing that, but he was trying to make them remember things. They still remember them. They wrote them all down. How many know that this happened? The young disciples in his camp, they so enjoyed it that they wrote it all down, and they remembered at least three of them the same stories. You can almost see them. Remember when he said that? And they write it down. Remember when he said that? Right? So I have this little problem, okay? And I know it. So if you think that I need to hear something, I'm going to be happy to hear it. But I'm going to try and make you remember. How many of you remember Dan with the blow dryer? Oh, I wasn't supposed to say his name, but I didn't tell you his last name. How remember Absalom with the blow dryer? You can remember that. How many of you are never going to do that yourself, you know, get all your friends to blow dry their hair to look like the Bee Gees? Yeah. So when Jesus taught, it's kind of interesting. It says that the common people heard him. Do you know the next word? Gladly. You know what that word gladly means? I looked it up, which is a good thing to do. You know what it means? They had a spontaneous response of noblest mirth. They were just like, I can't believe he said that. That's great. They were giving each other high fives and low jives. They were just, you know what I mean? And they remembered what he said. They remembered what he said. Now, here's another thing. I know I have to close now, but the people that hung around Jesus were not always the A students. In fact, they hadn't been accepted into college. And this is why, that doesn't mean you should be stupid. I'm not saying be stupid. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. But they were humble. They realized that it was a great blessing to be with Jesus. But what Jesus would do, I didn't know this till about 10 years ago. How many of you are 10? Okay, so, yeah. Maybe it was even 15 years ago. But I got this book. You know what the book was? It was called They Also Taught in Parables. And this is what the point of the book was. Jesus took the teachings of his day, many of them, and many of the parables of his day. These were things other teachers had said. And he took those teachings and he told exactly the same story. But at the end, he would just change it a little bit with a deep, profound meaning that turned their meaning upside down. And this is why the people were just so overjoyed. They would listen to it and they'd go, wow, And the response was, I bet you some people cried. How many of you know people that when something profound happens, they just cry? Usually it's your mother. Sometimes it's your father. I mean, we had this one guy in our church that he cried more than all the ladies combined. I mean, just every single time something happened, he would just go, remember that, dear? Rob, and we never could bring him up front because he would just go, boop, boop. He would just cry. In fact, I took a videotape of him once, and I sent it to my mother, and I said, this is you as a man. But some people, when they listen to Jesus, I think the reaction would be like crying, if it was my mother. And other people, it just struck them. And other people probably just sat there silent like a Norwegian. I don't know. But there was this reaction where Jesus just really got their attention. And you know what? When he chose his disciples, they were all different. There were differences between those disciples. They all were different. And he used them to reach different people. Different people. So we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves and commend ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, for those who commend themselves and measure themselves by themselves are not wise. How many of you want to be wise this week and discover this week what it means in your life? What God wants to do to you? How many of you have ever gotten these little recipes where it says just add water? But this week, we just want to add Jesus, amen? And what's going to happen in your life if you really surrender to Jesus? Not just this week, but forever. I've seen what's happened to a lot of young disciples in the past. I've never been to this camp before, but I have worked with many people from Young Disciple, and I have just seen amazing things happen through Young Disciples. And I'm glad you're here. I'm happy to be here. I hope I don't get kicked out. Get some demerits, you know. How many of you want to pray for me that I'll be able to stay tomorrow? I mean, even tonight I could be in trouble. I don't know. But by God's grace, we'll learn together. Amen? Now, I don't know. Am I supposed to pray or is there another ritual here? Is it okay? Can I pray? Thank you, Tanner. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, man, it is great to be here. Some of us have traveled a long way. Maybe we saved up our money for the last 10 years to be here. We have just, and maybe our parents have sacrificed so we could be here. I don't know the situation, but I do know this. We're here, and you want to do great things this week. The fact that we're here, it matters some, but perhaps even more importantly, would be that you would be here. So please be here as we study the word together and as we consider this text. And may we be like little stars that reflect sunlight of your righteousness. Come into our midst. Come into our cabins and our tents and our activities this week, we pray. We thank you. We come in Christ's name. Amen.